You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Aaron Rye begins the new season in style with a first European Tour victory at the Honma Hong Kong Open presented by Amundi.
Certainly hasn't sunk in yet and it won't do for a while. I think you have to be so focused and so kind of in the moment out there that, you know, it doesn't really sink in as soon as this interview is going out. So it sounds pretty good though. It sounds pretty good.
There was also success for the two Thomases, Dietrich and Peters, as Belgium claim a maiden win at the 2018 ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf.
It's been a long, especially a long back nine, but I mean, we got off to a good start. The legal there on fourth, I'm out of words. I mean, it feels amazing.
Super proud of him. That drive on 18 was unbelievable. I could see he was a bit nervous, and I was nervous as well. I was feeling it, but to hit that drive on 18 and to finish with the birdies, tops it off.
A look back at both events to come, plus we'll also preview the Australian PGA Championship and the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open at Anahita. I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined today by former European Tour winner Richard Boxall. Richard, how are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10. Bed early last night, about 9 o'clock, so I'd say I'm about 9, actually.
Excellent.
9's not bad.
Because I've not seen you for a while, so I get concerned about these things.
Yeah, I'm all right. Well, it's been a long, old, busy season, but it doesn't take long to get started again, does it?
They don't have a lot of time off these days, do they?
No, what was I? What are we now? A week last Sunday, we were finishing off in the DP World Tour Championship.
And we've kicked off again in Hong Kong.
And we've kicked off again here in Hong Kong.
Aaron Rye claims a maiden European Tour title after holding off Matthew Fitzpatrick to secure a one-shot victory at the Honma Hong Kong Open presented by Amundi. And Fitzpatrick went close because he started poorly. I thought he was on the wrong side of the draw early on on Thursday. Yeah. And he came back at the field and put an awful lot of pressure on Aaron Rye. And I think, considering it was his first win, the pro from Wolverhampton did remarkably well.
He did fantastically well, unlike Wolves did the other night, losing 2-0 to Huddersfield. But I looked at the scores after three rounds. I saw a 6-shot lead for Aaron Rye, and then you've got Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood and Sergio Garcia. Who do you not want chasing you down with a 6-shot lead?
I mean, this is massive, isn't it?
Because it's huge, because I had a 5-shot lead. I know it was 185,000 years ago, but I had a 5-shot lead going to the final round of a Rolex event called the Italian Open, and I just wanted to get that in for my producer. So there's only one thing you can do from there. Well, there's two. You can win,
or you can completely
utterly mess it up.
Yeah, and what happened?
Well, as it happens, I managed to stay five ahead. But think about it, score-wise, I shot 68 in the last round. You shoot 73, you've tied, which is easy to do, one over. And he would have been sitting on his bed on Saturday night thinking, I shouldn't really lose this from here now, 6-shot lead. And I'll tell you what, he was 2 under coming down the last, admittedly 3-putted the last, but he only won by one, and he shot 69. So you know what I mean? He shoots level par. There he is. He's in a playoff, and you can quite easily lose those. 71. He's lost it.
And we've seen leads lost at Hong Kong as well. I think it was Robert Castle, wasn't it, a few years ago? Was 4 clear going into the final day and got beat.
We watched Leeds lose in Hong Kong.
No,
I don't ever remember that.
Leeds
anyway.
And Wolves on a golf podcast.
Yeah, that's
no.
Right, yeah.
No, but it's one of those courses, certainly the last hole, that you can come unstuck at.
Brutal last hole. Out of bounds down the left-hand side. I've played in the event a few times myself. If you let it drift a little to the right, you've got a bunker down the right, but you get blocked out behind the trees. As I said, there's out of bounds down the left and the trees hang over. Then you've got the second shot where the water winks at you. There's no question if you're not on the fairway, if you're coming out of the rough. And then you've got one of the hardest greens to putt on, I think, there is on the European Tour. It's a brutal last green, especially with the grain.
Bit more on Hong Kong in just a second. Yeah. What about the World Cup of Golf then? Thomas Peters, Thomas Dietrich.
Yes.
Holding off a late challenge from Australia, who started the final round as well, to win the World Cup at the Metropolitan Golf Club. It seems to have found a home, doesn't it, the World Cup, because it's been staged here the last few
I played
occasions.
Many years ago, I remember...
You were second in this, weren't you?
In the World Cup, I was, but we played that. Grand Cypress, we played that in Florida. And
was
I was obviously...
Partner?
Mark James. Mm. Mark James was my playing partner. Funnily enough, I looked at the money, which one of our producers, I think he's a sound engineer, said that he was going to have a bet that money would come into this about 12 times. I mean, we may have just started, but here comes the first one. And it's amazing. Okay, admittedly, it was a long time ago. I played 28 years ago. But Mark James and I got $50,000 each.
Who put the birdies on the board that week, you or him?
Both of us.
Okay.
I think he won the individual. But I played really nicely.
You
had to play. Because what they did that year, they went from better ball, four ball better ball every day, they went to aggregate. And you know what that means, don't you? A lot of nodding here, viewers, but it's not actually coming out the answer. But not so good for radio, the nodding. But anyway, aggregate, which is you add both scores together.
Correct.
And I thought, well, that's nice. And
that'll do.
We played with two players from the Czech Republic. Okay, it was Czechoslovakia in those days, but it was the Czech Republic. And one of them, I swear to you, I think he dropped his ball onto the tee to get it on it. I mean, they were so nervous, right? I think he shot 98 in the first round. Italy, it was a bit windy, but he shot 98 in the
first
round and rallied back for 78. Where did they finish? In the end? Yes. Is the answer to that. But anyway, the financial situation, as I like to get onto, because it's quite remarkable, really. They won virtually $500,000 each. Okay. And in my day, it was $50,000.
And that was when dollars weren't worth that much, I guess.
No, but plus we had
in the 70s.
Do you know where we went to pick our check up? We had to go to the hotel reception where they had a check written out for you, and they took tax off at source. So my net check was $34,000.
So did you have to go to reception just anything for Mr. Boxall today?
And I said, "What's on the room?" I said,
"Something behind."
They
the
said,
counter.
"I said, can I pay my room bill?" They went, "Here's $34,000." I said, "I didn't realize I'd spent that much." Anyway, it's an interesting stories, and you get them for free. Can't beat that.
Yeah. When are they going to come, the interesting stories?
Don't know. They will not long. Keep going in this show, and they will come eventually. Trust me. But anyway, and the other great thing about the World Cup is it's you can't beat the old team events. Dan keeps looking through the glass window at our producer. Why did you do that? Am I boring it?
No.
No. Oh, good.
I love team events.
Fantastic.
They're great.
Because golf's an individual event, as you well know. And you get to play together. That's why I love things like the Ryder Cup, the World Cup.
World Cup of Golf. So we started in Hong Kong, where Aaron Rye didn't actually surrender the lead boxy on the Sunday, and he set up the win, really, with that terrific second round 61. We mentioned the draw with Matt Fitzpatrick. He started 70, went 62. How difficult is that when you feel that you're wrong side of the draw, you're in the worst conditions on that first day, and you are playing catch-up for the rest of the week?
Well, it's not easy, especially around that sort of course. I always found Fan Ling very difficult to play. It was, the grass was very difficult. If you missed the fairways, it's very difficult to control the ball with your second shot. Sort of slopey sort of fairways. There's some real tough par fours around that course. And, shoot 62, it's 8 under par. But I tell you knock it around there and 8 under par, you've played some golf.
Obviously had a big lead going into the final day, as we mentioned. Matt birdies the first two. I mean, the pressure is on Aaron there. And he responded brilliantly because he birdied 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And then he dropped shots on 6 and 8. There was a wobble, wasn't there, mid-round?
Yeah, there always is. You know, we call it a GM, which is a golden moment where nothing is said between the player and the caddy whatsoever. You go, oh, we're hitting the golden moment now where nobody's saying anything. Yeah, it was towards the end of the front nine for Aaron Wright, was there. But I listened to his interview. He said he didn't feel that nervous, didn't feel under a great deal of pressure, but... I would say he was getting a little thirsty down the last 6 holes, I should imagine.
Well, he birdied the 12th and the 13th, but nervous moments once again when he three-putted 18, but he was just enough in front of Matt Fitzpatrick to score. But again, the pressure down the stretch, you mentioned that final hole as well, there's all sorts of trouble there. And I guess from Matt Fitzpatrick's point of view, he's going to be disappointed because he played well for 3 rounds. The first day scuppered him a little bit, but when you get that close, when you're bearing down on your opponent, you almost expect to get the job done. I'm sure he would have.
Yeah, but he's starting the day that far behind. I think it's, as you chatted, he had a great weekend, 68-64. I don't know, disappointed. You go to the tournament as he's getting on the aircraft to go out there on a 13-hour flight, so you're going to pick up second spot all on your own. Yeah, okay, he wants to win. Was he won 4 or 5 times now on the European Tour? Is it 4 or is it 5? I think it's 5 when he's winning Kron, isn't it, this year? So
similar type of course, I guess, ish.
Ish, yeah, lengthwise and all that. Yes, it was pretty similar. Fiddly little courses. But I like those, the old-fashioned sort of courses, don't you?
Well,
Or do you like the big slog?
I like the big ones.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because, you see golfers unleash hell.
All right, do you like 238, 242-yard par threes?
Par threes, yeah, they're the ones.
Do you?
Yeah, because they're difficult, aren't they,
Well, have you played the postage stamp at Troon?
No, I haven't. But, you know, every single time you see them, when the majors come around, and I suppose we're looking at the US Open more than anything else, they just seem to me to test the very best.
Well, what, the long ones or the short ones?
The long ones. The short ones are all to do with the elements.
Yeah, but they're all to do with shaping a shot and three-quarter swing and a curtailed follow-through, that sort of stuff. You like the actions?
Yeah, it's good for radio, that one.
That's fantastic, isn't it? No, I don't like the big slogging holes and the three woods and the one irons. Or they don't really carry one iron nowadays, but, you know, two irons. I don't like those ones. This is only me personally.
So in terms of this golf course, we mentioned Matt Fitzpatrick, but perfect for Aaron Rye as well, because he's not the biggest of hitters,
is he? He's not a massive hitter. Wears two gloves as well. Did you spot
yes.
that?
Right. Why would you wear two gloves?
Well, I wouldn't. But you mean, why does he? Mm. Well, he just was something he did when he was young.
If you get used to it,
and he just got used to it, thought, well, that's all right, that feels all right, and I'll do that. I couldn't believe it when I first saw him out on the course. I couldn't believe it, and then I eventually caught up with him in Morocco, and we were behind the 15th green, little par four, which you would birdie, obviously, no shot there. You. And I was just having a chat with him. What a nice chap he is, from Wolverhampton. Can't remember who he supports now. Don't think it's Wolves.
He's a friend of the show. He has been on before.
Man United?
But we've not asked him his football.
Have you not?
No. But two gloves is something
odd.
And
his father was with him. Very nice gent as well, yeah.
Two gloves we don't see that often. Tommy Gainey on the PGA Tour used to wear two gloves, of course.
I tell you what, you can pull them out. Is that, didn't he? You can look at me going,
any idiosyncrasies with your golf attire or play?
Not so much a golf attire. I was quite superstitious. I had to have my room number add up to 13, because 13 is my lucky number. Richard Boxall, 13 letters in that name. I haven't got a middle name. Not written down. I haven't got a middle name anyway. But, 8-5-1 is perfect. 1-5 is 5
plus 8-13. Did your superstitions change if you didn't win? Did you then change it for the next tournament?
No.
It's basically
maybe I should have done
that. That's the question.
That's the question with the one win. That's very true. Dan Roebuck, ever you want an inferiority complex, come and do a podcast with Dan Roebuck. He'll sort you out completely.
Matt Fitzpatrick bogeyed the 17th. That was potentially where his challenge faltered.
He missed from about 8 feet, didn't he, for his par. And 17's not a tough hole. You tee off right outside the clubhouse. The 17th actually is the actual first hole on Fanling, which you obviously knew that. And so you get the members underway early. You know what I mean? Nice, easy, wide open fairway, short par four, and very big green. I think it's a double green on the 13th, if I remember rightly, or it's not far off anyway. Or do I mean not far off the 13th? I can't remember. It's a long time since I've played there. But anyway, it's a kind of hole in the player's mind that would be a birdie opportunity. And he gave the first one a bit of a rumble, I think, at the hole, and missed the 8-footer coming back.
Matt Fitzpatrick challenge ended on the 17th. We can hear from the winner next, who was asked how it feels to be a champion on the European Tour.
Certainly hasn't sunk in yet, and it won't do for a while. I think you have to be so focused and so kind of in the moment out there that, you know, it doesn't really sink in as soon as this interview is going out. So, it sounds pretty good, though. It sounds pretty good. Matt played incredible all day. It was tough, but again, I really just tried to play the course as much as possible rather than Matt or anyone else who was playing well today. So luckily managed to do that for most of the way round. It's tough considering the situation, but very pleased in that sense.
What was the key, do you think, for your victory this week?
The whole game was pretty solid. Drove it well, which is important to get it in position, to get it on the fairways. The iron play was very consistent, very solid. And the putts as well, again, made a few putts, didn't really miss too many short ones, and had pretty good pace control. So, yeah, just a very solid all-round game.
Terrific performance from Aaron Rye. Yeah. His best result prior to his win was fifth at the 2018 BMW International. He'd been putting one or two decent rounds together. He was eighth in South Africa at the Nedbank as well. So, although he didn't look exactly like a winner waiting to happen, he did find some form. And again, that event, much higher standard, you would suggest, than Hong Kong.
Very much. Well, yes, you do. But, you know, you start collecting a few Race to Dubai points, you can start collecting a bit of money, it makes you feel a bit more secure, you start attacking, you can go a few times. I'm going to mention something here in this running order that you probably should have done next, but he also, you know, on the Challenge Tour, won three times to get into that position. So, and winning is winning. You know, I know the Challenge Tour, it's a fantastic training ground for the young lads coming through. If you can do a year on that and qualify, it's a great way to get onto the tour. But, you know, winning is winning, and getting past the line is getting past the line. Simple as that. And he did it three times on the Challenge Tour.
One final point.
Go on, then.
Aaron Rye's win had a local caddy on his bag.
Well, it goes to show, doesn't it? You're going to ask me what it goes to show.
Well, obviously it works sometimes, not all the time, but no, certain courses... I mean, did you ever take a local caddy?
Yes. Yeah, no, I have done, yeah.
Specific to certain events or just specific to where you were in the world?
Well, Nigeria, Kenya, Zambia, Zimbabwe. You'd always have to take a local there. New Zealand, sometimes, not New Zealand, Australia, sometimes your normal caddy would come down for that. But, you know, have you spotted, I know you like, occasionally you like a little gamble. Mm. Anybody who changes their caddy from their normal caddy, not all the time, but a lot of times go out the next week and win.
Talking about Fitzpatrick, aren't we?
Fitzpatrick, Lee Westwood. Mm-hmm. And then Aaron Rye, who's got a normal caddy, all of a sudden goes a long trip to Hong Kong, probably said to his caddy, says, I can't quite afford that. He says, oh, I'll get a local one about there. And there's his caddy at home probably being sick, I should imagine, on Sunday morning.
Chris Paisley, we saw on tour as well, do exactly the same thing.
He had his bride caddy for him at the South African Open last year. This year. Last season, this year.
Mm, well done.
Yeah, he was being chased down by Brandon Stone there as well. He did very well.
And, of course, with that local caddy on his bag, managed to break the course record as well, 61 on Friday to set up the win. Really good reaction from social media as well. Ross Fisher said, many, many congratulations to Aaron Rye on winning the first event of the 2019 season. Eddie Pepperell says, you won't meet a nicer, more polite man. Well done, Aaron. And Dylan Fratelli, congrats, bro. You deserve it. So proud of you, your hard work and determination. Well, it was a valiant effort from runner-up Matt Fitzpatrick, as we've discussed, who was pleased with his display at Fanling.
It was great. Obviously, disappointing to sort of bogey 17 there, such a simple bogey. But I gave it a good go. You know, it was always going to be tough to beat him, and for the last 2 days, he's just played very solid golf and not sort of given anything away, which makes my life more difficult.
Matt Fitzpatrick, who of course won the European Masters back in September. Been an odd season for him, really. Just missed out, of course, on the Ryder Cup. One or two poor performances, but I think he can be pleased with his calendar. Obviously, we've kicked off the new season, but, you know, another win on the board, and he's still a young man.
Yeah, I mean, 5 wins on the European Tour. You know, as you say, young, he's not even 20... He's not even 26 yet, I don't think.
No.
I think he's still 25.
Maybe, could be.
Maybe, yeah, we're not sure. But, it was... 5 wins, okay, didn't make the Ryder Cup, as you say. That would have been disappointing for him. But I still think, you know, he's second on the race to Dubai as we stand right now.
We need the top 10
for
the Hong Kong Open, Mr. Boxall.
Okay, here we are, top 10. Ninth tied was Kim Kovu and Mika Lauren Shin. You won't have heard too much of them, but they were 3 under par. Tied 6th was Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, Shubhankar Sharma, 2-time winner last season on the European Tour. Sergio Garcia, level par for him. Thought he might do a little bit better than that. David Drysdale, the Scotsman, good start to the season for him. In third spot, Victor Perez and Jason Scrivener. Second on his own was Matthew Fitzpatrick and Aaron Rye, leading the way in the Hong Kong Open and leading the way in the race to Dubai.
Indeed, if you want to check out the race to Dubai standings over the course of the campaign, head to europeantour.com. To matters in Australia now, where Belgium held off Australia to win the ISPS Handa Melbourne World Cup of Golf for the first time at the Metropolitan Golf Club. Before we get to it, Boxy, probably worth reminding everyone the format, because it has changed over the years. What did they play this week?
This week they were playing 4-ball in the first round, and then foursomes, then 4-ball on day 3. Again, 4-ball, better ball that is, and then foursomes on the final day. Foursomes is a tough game. Very tough game, and it always surprises me how low people score in foursomes.
So you make your score first and third rounds, and you try and hang on second and fourth? Is that
really
the deal?
The idea is if you can knock it around in sort of 7 or 8, 9 under in the 4-ball, better ball, and then sort of knock it around in level 1 or 2 under in the foursomes if you can. Same again on the Friday, go low, because you've got two bites of the cherry,
I think.
Yeah, I think it's 2 bites. Mm. And then the last day, the scoring actually was very good, especially from the team that won it. 68. Leishman and Smith, Australian, 65 and 66 from the Mexicans, which is very good scoring in foursomes. Might just add, though, day 2, the scoring in the foursomes wasn't particularly good. 71s and 76s.
Well,
and
the
70s,
weather, yeah, the weather was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
It was not very Australian summer at all.
No.
Messrs. Poulter and Hatton got rather frustrated. Did you see this? Did you see Tyrrell Hatton?
Apparently, obliterated a tee box.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, well,
your thoughts on things like that.
My thoughts on things.
Is he showing passion and?
He's showing passion, you know, yeah. But I think
is he going over the top of it?
Yeah, that is. You don't want to smash a tee box up, do you? But I think he probably. I mean, he got it right in the middle of the tee box. It was a proper hit.
Well struck.
Totally obliterated it. But it was.
It was a lot better than his actual tee shot, really, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Tee shot was well right. But the thing is, and I watched him as he walked. So as he walked away, he turned around and looked at the tee box that was actually in smithereens, and I think he would have regretted that quite badly. But you know, it's one of those things. It shows his passion. He was very angry at knocking it down the right side.
He did say, it wasn't his finest hour on Twitter afterwards. He did.
What did he say?
He said it wasn't his finest hour.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it took that long, did it? It wasn't his finest 8 seconds or whatever it was. Or no, 5 seconds, whatever. Anyway, these things happen, I suppose. He'll take the penalty for it. There's bound to be a fine there somewhere along the line, I would have thought.
Good playing from Dietrich and Peters, though, because the Belgians, who are massive off the tee, managed to go clear going into the final round. They were five ahead. And I guess if the format had have been reversed, then potentially they might have been caught on that last day. But when you're playing last day, it's so difficult maybe to overhaul a five-shot lead.
If you knock it round in 68 in the foursomes, and you've got a... What was it, five-shot lead going to the final round? Yeah, you knock it round in 68, you are so unlucky to lose that. And, you know, Leishman and Smith...
They got
Cameron
to
Smith,
within
65.
Two.
Yeah, they got close. Three it was in the end, finally. But... 68 is, you know, 63, 68 the weekend, and 65, 65 from Leishman and Smith, 65, 66 from Ancer and Diaz. That's fantastic golf over the weekend. But, you know, they're playing for their country. They are top players.
Mexican pair, Abraham Ancer, who, of course, won the previous week down under, and Roberto Diaz, who I must confess don't know too much about. How difficult is it when your playing partner might not be as good as the number one player on the team, or there is a huge discrepancy? And this is not to do down Roberto Diaz, but you tend to think that maybe Abraham was carrying his partner a little bit.
For Ancer, it would have been easy.
Well, I'm going to say, would you know from one side of the coin or the other?
Yes,
or both?
Yes. No, well, I would know from both sides, but then two... You know, I played in the World Cup with Mark James, who was a Ryder Cup player, multiple winner, and he's playing with Richard Boxall, who's... Admittedly, I played in the Dunhill Cup earlier on in the season with Mark James and Howard Clark, finished second in that. Throw that in. But, you know, you go away, and what you do is you're playing with Mark James and you think, whatever you do, don't let him down. You know, and I, before that started, I was playing so badly. I went up, we were in business class, and I went up to his seats and I apologised to him at 37,000 feet. I said, I'm really sorry for what.
So you did let him.
It's going to happen. Well, no, I didn't. As it happens, because when I got there, I went and
you upped your game.
I went and saw Woozy, Ian Woosnam, on the range, and I'm hitting balls, but I was reverse pivoting, which means I was getting too much weight on my left hand side and wasn't getting up the back side of the ball. So Woozy said to me, he said, get your left shoulder. He said, on the way back, swing it past the ball. He said, get it past the ball. You can see the others in the other room. They're really quite interested in this, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They're thinking, this is a free tip.
Yeah, this is a radio clinic and
a half. So what happens? So the mic's the ball, okay? Hello, concentrate, look at me. The mic's the ball, okay? Okay, they'll be off, they'll be fine. They'll just talk to you in your ear. So what you do is you swing back. He said to me, get your shoulder past the ball. Anyway, I started taking the club back, shoulder past the ball. I said, Woozy, this is ridiculous. I'm swaying so far off it. He said, no, you're not. He said, trust me, you're not. He said, over-exaggerate it. So I over-exaggerated it, and I started to get up to hit up the backside of the ball, which means my club wasn't coming down steep on it. It was coming in flatter and flusher to the ball. I could actually start to draw the ball a little bit from right to left. I thought, this is unbelievable. I hit hundreds and hundreds of balls, got a load of confidence, went out, shot 68 in the first round, 94 in the second. But, I mean, no, I wasn't really. So anyway, but I went out, and Woozy gave me a great lesson, gave me a lot of confidence.
Where did Wales finish that week?
Who was playing for Wales? Mark Moulin and Ian Woosnam. Mm. They didn't finish ahead of us. We finished tied second with...
So there was, did Woozy give you a tip? You didn't manage to give him one back?
I didn't manage to give him one back. He didn't need one. He had the Masters tucked under his belt. But who won it? Germany won it. Langer and Torsten Gideon. And Langer went all the way around and never, ever let Torsten
take
Gideon...
a shot.
No, was it Torsten Gideon? Yeah, never let him hit a shot without giving him an essay before he hit the shot. It was quite remarkable. And Mark James and I should have won it, but we both bogeyed the 15th par 5, and that was the end of that. Anyway, we finished tied third with tied second, sorry, with Ireland. I'll get it out in a minute. Anyway, long old story. I'm sure a lot of that will be edited, but anyway, there you go. That's the way it goes.
Well, it was Belgium that managed to come good. Let's hear from the two terrific Thomases, starting with Dietrich.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long, especially a long back nine, but I mean, we got off to a good start. Felt good to drop a little eagle there on fourth. And yeah, I mean, I'm out of words. I mean, it feels amazing. We're just world champion, you know.
I better go to Thomas Peters then, you're out of words. Especially that eagle, it got you back in the role again.
Yeah, for sure. I'm super proud of him. Like, that drive on 18 was unbelievable. I know I could see he was a bit nervous, and I was nervous as well. I was feeling it, but to hit that drive on 18, and the flag is a bit lucky, but to finish with the birdies, tops it off.
You threw the birdie in on 16 as well. That gave you a little bit of a cushion coming those last two.
Yeah, I had a good chip there, and he held a nice putt. You know, these putts on the back nine are not easy, I know, and he made plenty of them, so hats off to him.
How much advice did you get from him, Thomas?
Quite a lot. I mean, stay calm. I struggled to, didn't struggle, but I mean, it was always nice to have your big brother talking to you and calming you down. So, and to be honest, we didn't do much different than we've done the last 3 days. So it's pretty cool.
How much do you think you learned about winning playing with Thomas today?
Just a lot. I mean, you know, like, he seems pretty quiet. I mean, you don't really have to do anything special. You know, we just needed to, like, hit fairways and hitting greens. And to be honest, it's like you're playing a game against your body at home. So learned a lot. Thanks for him.
I like these two players. I think they're great to watch. I think that Dietrich has been unlucky not to win this season. I know that when I've sat in this chair over the last 18 months, 2 years, yourself, Rob Lee, and so on, always have talked about Dietrich as a potential European Tour winner. I know he's not got an individual Tour title, but one is coming pretty soon, you fancy.
100%. There's no question about it. He reminds me, really, a little bit of his playing partner, Thomas Peters. You know, I think he swings it well. He's certainly got a good head on him. He's not got a little bit of a temper or anything like that. I think he's nice and cool and calm and relaxed, and Dietrich will... he'll win a few.
And pleased for Peters as well, because he's got close recently. One round has really scuppered his chances in a number of events. You could say the same out in China at HSBC, in Turkey as well. Both times starting with a 75, playing great over the weekend, yeah, and the Friday as well. And I'm pleased that he's managed to get one this year, because after such a breakout year when he played so well in the Ryder Cup, there was quite a significant dip, wasn't there?
There was. Well, he had 3 wins on tour, isn't he, Thomas Peters? Pretty sure it is 3 wins on tour. It was a little quiet. Okay, it wasn't a European Tour event, you know, individual, but it is nice to get a win under your belt, and it'll make his turkey taste very nice.
Defending champions, incidentally, Boxy, Søren Kjeldsen, yeah, and Torbjørn Olesen closed with a 65, 17 under, and of course they won it last year, defending champs. It's the 8th time in the last 10 stagings of the World Cup of Golf that European Tour members have lifted the trophy. We always talk about team golf and Europeans. Is this another example of why European golfers do well when they pair up, team up, when it comes to events like this?
It is. Plus, there's another reason. They don't, you know, if you look at America, the top players that could play for their country don't want to come over and play. Simple as that.
It's still a good team, though, Kuchar and Stanley.
Yeah, I know it's a good team. But, you know, if you put the top two Americans together, Koepka and Johnson, you know, whoever the top two are, qualifying-wise, I think they would...
I mean, they did used to win it pretty much every single year,
they did.
Didn't they?
Who played when we played? There was the late Payne Stewart.
Yeah, Love and Couples. Jody Mutt. Love and Couples, I think, won it 3 or 4 times on the spin.
Yeah, you had Nicklaus used to play, yeah. Miller used to play.
Mm-hmm. Arne used to play.
It was, you know, the World Cup is a big event, but it used to be massive.
Boxy, as it's pairs, we need the top 5 from the World Cup.
OK, here they go. In tied 4th were the Danes, Søren Kjeldsen, Torbjørn Olesen, and from Canada, Hadwin and Taylor. Then you got Ansa and Diaz were 2nd, tied with Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith. And the winners were from Belgium, Thomas Peters and Thomas Dietrich.
Now, predictions from last week. Rob Lee went for Matt Fitzpatrick in Hong Kong, who was 2nd, of course, so gets 10 points for that. And he also tipped up Belgium to win the World Cup of Golf, gets 20 points, so that was a terrific week for Rob.
Ooh, don't
first
tell him that.
Second.
Don't tell him. Mind you, he'll never let you.
I know. But, you know, credit where credit's due. And Jamie Spence, to his credit as well. Tommy Fleetwood, who was up in the vanguard for much of the week, but was 14th in the end, gets 5 points. And Australia, who, of course, was 2nd to Belgium. So we had a 1-2 in the World Cup, and a one in a top 20 in the Hong Kong. That's very good tipping
from
them. It
was good.
Two.
Can you just tell me what is it? I don't know, and I've never heard of it. Up in the vanguard.
In the vanguard. Yeah. It means that you're towards the head of something.
Ah,
if
right,
a vanguard okay. looks like this, and obviously this is no good for a podcast.
No.
You're up.
Oh, he's up there. A vanguard. I remember those. Do you remember the vanguard planes?
I
vanguard
do remember,
and Viscount.
And what did they look like?
Or Viscount.
They looked like that, didn't
they? Did, yeah. They looked like a vanguard. Now I've got it. Excellent. Off you go. Are you done there? Or?
The score after one event of the 2018-19 campaign, presenters on 30, co-presenters on 15, apparently, and this is news to me because I've not been in all summer, all winter, all autumn, that the co-presenters won the challenge. Did you know that, Boxing? Did you contribute anything
yeah,
to
absolutely,
it?
Yeah, absolutely, I did, yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
How many winners did you have?
I don't know. I think I had one winner.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I did. Somewhere earlier on in the season. Could have been somebody like Alexander Bjork at the Volvo China Open.
No, it probably wasn't, though. You weren't that clever that week.
Apparently, in my ear, I'm here. I got a few minus points, but.
Yeah, I think you did. Apparently, there is a forfeit, and Rob Lee's got to take us all out.
Yeah, well, Rob Lee, that's the presenter. So that's you and Rob.
Yeah.
Who were. Richard Kaufman will be taking us out. That's going to be a nice opening of wallets.
I haven't got any money, though, as you know, because my bathroom's costing me
bathroom's a fortune. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very true.
Exactly.
It's going to be nice, though.
I hope so. Two other news now, and a new point system has been introduced for the 2019 race to Dubai, which got underway this past week with the Honma Hong Kong Open. In recent years, the difference in prize funds at tournaments has widened substantially and no longer provided a fair barometer of performance at certain levels. Therefore, the Players' Tournament Committee has approved a new point system that will establish more consistency during the 2019 campaign. Just a reminder of the old system, points equivalent to earnings. So, for example, $1 equaled 1 point. This created a significant disparity of 12 to 1 between the bigger events, such as the $12 million US Open and the smaller events. It's got to be a good thing that it's changed, Boxing.
It is definitely. There's been a lot of chat about this for a long time. And, you know, this is going to be so much better for players from the Q School and also players from the, you know, from the Challenge Tour, because they don't get to play in so many events. And, you know, you need the points on the race in Dubai to maintain your card. You know, you could play in a few events and only get just a small proportion of the prize money. Prize money-wise, they're still going to get the same money, but the points will change.
This is how it changes. Each tournament will be classified into one of nine categories called bands. Each band is determined by prize fund and prestige. As a result of these changes, the differential between the largest and the smallest events has been significantly reduced from 12 to 1 to 5 to 1, bearing out what Boxer was saying about those lesser events and the players looking to create points and win points and therefore hopefully getting to better events. It provides members who do not get into the bigger prize money events a fairer opportunity to keep their card while maintaining the traditional and important hierarchy of professional tournaments. As we mentioned, it can only be a good thing. It's difficult to get the balance right because it has been tweaked over the years, but this seems to be moving in the right direction.
I think, as you say, this is definitely moving in the right direction, and it's going to be a lot fairer. You know, it's still going to be the money is still going to be you know, that's what goes in the
have
bank.
Have we got to 12 times your
not
money yet?
No, we got to 12 okay. to 1 to 5 to 1 okay. but we haven't got to the 12 to 1 we can't be far off.
Now, speaking of money, Tiger versus Phil last Friday, the match, what did you make of the showdown at Shadow Creek? Thought the course looked great. For the layman, such as me, I thought it was interesting to see how they went about their business. Not quite sure about the banter. The money was an awful lot. What was your thoughts?
Well, I think you probably summed it up in one hit there. The money was a lot. I think it would have been quite good if they'd said, right, we'll have a million each. A million. A million's a lot. Million each, and we'll have 3.5 million each, which they could have given 500,000 to seven charities. Who knows?
There
they might
side
well
bets
have done
for
that.
Charity.
Yeah, if it happened, I don't know. But you're right. The course looked absolutely great. And the other good thing was, you know, you're paying $19.99. It went to the 22nd hole. You got good value for money there.
What are your thoughts on the golfers being mic'd up for the entire 18 holes? Did that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I understand it works for the punter watching, for sure, because it's, you know, how far we got to the front, how far to the back, how far's the flag on, how far's the bunker from the right-hand side, which direction's the wind coming in, how far we got to take that bunker out of play. For the AMs, absolutely fantastic, because they understand how their course management works and getting around a course. Not so much for me, because I did it anyway. For a living. But
would you have been mic'd up when you played? Would that have suited you? Would you have minded?
The difficult thing is to really be yourself, you know. You don't want to be rude. You don't want to say anything out of place. So you're what's commonly known in the trade as very well behaved.
In terms of a contest, I mean, it went all the way. It went to extra holes. The floodlights flicked on. There was a little bit of drama. And Phil Mickelson I mean, Tiger was the favourite going into it. I mean, Phil's done well to win, hasn't he?
He has done very well to win. I don't know whether the scoring was that brilliant.
No, it wasn't. They didn't play particularly well.
I didn't think the scoring was that good. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was an exhibition match.
For 9 million large.
For 9 million biggies, and winner takes all. And that happened to be Phil Mickelson. Very nice. He'll remember that for a long time.
$9 million won by Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods finishes second. Neither are in the top 10 in the world. Boxy. No,
they are not, but I'll tell you who is in 10th. Tommy Fleetwood is now in 10th spot. Ricky Fowler, 9th. John Rahm, 8th. 7th is Rory McIlroy. Francesco Molinari, brilliant season, 6th. 5th is Bryson DeChambeau. Justin Thomas is 4th. 3rd is Dustin Johnson. Justin Rose is 2nd. And rightfully so, Brooks Koepka leads the way at number 1.
Now, like last week, we have two events to preview. So let's start with the Australian PGA Championship at the RACV Royal Pines Resort on Queensland's magnificent Gold Coast. Tournament is co-sanctioned by the PGA of Australasia and the European Tour. The course has hosted this event since 2013. Is it a venue you know that you've played? Is it typical Australian? Is it a tricky test?
Oh, they're all tricky tests. I've never played this golf course, but I have played down on the Gold Coast before in Queensland. But they are all the golf courses in Australia. The ones that I've played are all really nice courses. Weather's always normally pretty good this time of the year. You know, you go down to Melbourne, you can get four seasons in around about November, December time. Probably not so much up at Queensland. I think it'll be a little bit humid, but no, it's a good venue and great to have the Australian PGA, you know, related to the European Tour.
Par 72, 7,364 yards. Relatively flat is the key. Tight fairways, plenty of water. And it says here, Boxy, that the flowing waters of the Narang River frame the Gold Course with both fresh and saltwater lakes coming into play on 9 of the 18 holes. You familiar with the Narang River?
I'm
not. Fishing there?
I've never been fishing. Are you into fishing?
Fresh and saltwater lakes, something that, you know.
No, no. You know, what I know about, you know, fishing, you can run on a postage stamp with a paintbrush.
Par 3, 16th hole is the featured hole. Now, in terms of the field, Cameron Smith, the defending champion, we know what a prospect he is. He's done well on the PGA Tour. He could potentially be head and shoulders above this lot, couldn't he?
He could be, yeah. But you know, we've got little tips for this tournament, haven't we? Yes. One each. And as I look down our running order here, I see that my tip is on there.
Yeah.
But you can have a look. Don't shout it out, because I'll give it away. And then you can imagine.
So you're not tipping Cameron Smith then?
No, I'm not tipping Cameron.
You don't like defending champion. Harold Varner, the third, won it a few years ago, didn't he? Played well on the PGA Tour recently.
He did. Yeah, he did. So yeah, the info you've got is unbelievable.
I know, yeah.
Like an elephant, you never forget. I mean, he's brilliant.
I forget plenty. Adrian Ortegi.
Yeah, he's playing incredibly well.
Another one that's playing
well.
Yeah,
but I don't.
You don't like any of the names that we've
written
on our script.
Yeah, I do. I love one
You're
of them.
You're ordering off the menu again.
I love
Here
one
he
of
comes
them.
Off the menu, chef.
No, he's not coming. No. Well, he is. I am ordering off the menu, but I looked at that before I saw the running order.
Ah.
Go on then, ask me who's playing.
Who's playing?
Well, I'll tell you who's playing. Renato Paratori, the young Italian.
Yeah.
Plays very quickly.
Fresh
like
from his exploits
play.
In the World Cup.
Yeah, Sam Brazel. Adrian Ortegi, again, who's two-time winner on the European Tour. Not won a 72-hole stroke play event.
No, he's not, has he? He's
played
the match
very
plays,
well.
Yes.
He was comfortably top 25 on the race in Dubai last season.
Did he win in Belgium?
He did win in Belgium. Mm. Belgian knockout, yeah. But he won the Paul Laurie match play as well.
That's right, that's right.
Marcel, he was two down with five to go against Marcel. So two up and five to play never wins, you see.
Mm.
I know what I'd rather be, though.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be two up and five to play.
Who else is playing?
Well, I mentioned Brazil and Paratori. Peter O'Malley, there's a blast from the past. And Robert Allenby as well, they're playing.
Mm. Andrew Johnson is teeing up in Australia. He's not had a great time of things recently.
No.
He's a talented player. Why do you think that his star has fallen a little?
Backwards and forwards to America. I think that's very difficult.
Didn't do it so much over 2018.
No, he didn't. No. He came back and played last year on the European Tour, which is where he should be. He went over to America. He took advantage of everything he could possibly get, and I don't blame him for that one little bit. But if it comes down to the golf, I think he plays much better in Europe. Plenty of prize money to play for. And I think stick to where you grew up, you know, comes from North Middlesex and all that. I mean, you know, he's made for the European Tour, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, he's playing, as we mentioned earlier. Sean Crocker is playing. Who else have we got on there? Scott Hend, big hitting Scott Hend. He's playing
Lucas
James
Herbert.
Morrison. Lucas
Herbert.
Herbert. I wanted to say Herbert. There,
no, that's
not.
Benjamin Herbert. Lucas, yeah, Lucas Herbert's good, you're playing.
Yeah, he's good. He's a long hitter, and you know, Wayne Riley tips him up to win a few tournaments, I'll have you say.
One or two old favourites. You mentioned O'Malley. Marcus Fraser playing as well, who's come close over the course of the year.
Well, of course, yeah, Marcus Fraser. He's won a couple of times on the European Tour, so he knows what it's all about as well, and in his homeland.
Good strength and depth from the local players. Come on, who's your selection?
For the tournament or from the local players?
For the tournament.
For the tournament, I'm going for the man that I think will nudge up his third win this season. Hopefully it'll be the Australian PGA, Adrian Otegi.
Adrian Otegi. I'm going to go for Harrison Endicott.
Because?
Well, he's played well recently. He was top 30 in the Australian Open. Prior to that, was top 10 in the New South Wales Open. He's been talked about quite a bit as maybe a new up-and-comer from
Endicott.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, keep your eye on that. That's
keep your eye on that one. I was going to go for Mark Leishman, but everyone keeps telling me he's not playing this week. If he rocks up and wins, I'm having the points.
Quite right.
Also this week, we have the AfraAsia Bank Mauritius Open at Anahita. You've played Mauritius, not this course, though, I believe.
I played when it was it was called the Mauritius Open. It was mainly a pro-am. Mm. So that was way back in about 2000, 2001, maybe, long, long time ago. And I could actually still hit it then. Opened up with an 80 in the first round, but fired back with a 66 in the second round. But anyway, there you go. That was long. I'd stop playing then.
I would imagine that it's a course that may well get affected by the elements.
Oh, definitely. There's a warm air. When you arrive in Mauritius, you get out of the aircraft, it's like somebody blowing a hairdryer on you. You know what I mean? It's very warm. And the South Africans, there's a load of South Africans playing in this. And if you're a betting man, you'd think a South African would win it for sure. Though a lot of them have in the past.
Dylan Fratelli, defending champion.
George Coetzee has won it as well, hasn't he? I remember rightly. Dylan Fratelli, as you say, defending champion. But when it comes to choices, I'm going to not choose a South African.
OK, we'll get to your pick a second. Just a little word about the course. Designed by Ernie Els, opened in 2008. It's described on Ernie's website, no less, as being beautifully complemented by surrounding lagoons and breathtaking mountain backdrops. The course is long, with wide Bermuda fairways and large undulating greens. It's a venue that suits the big hitters, not necessarily accurate drivers. We mentioned Fratelli as the defending champion, obviously a big hitter. One player that's had issues this year, Bernd Wiesberger, but if he's fit firing, he can hit it out there.
He can. He's a big hitter, Bernd Wiesberger. I fancy he might do well. I really do, Bernd Wiesberger. He's not going to be my tip at the end of the day. You've got a former champion, Coetzee, Nicholas Kolsarts, again, big hitter. Coetzee is quite a big hitter. Eduardo Molinari.
Alvaro Quiroz can knock it out there as
well.
Yeah,
he's massive, isn't he?
Huge.
Very big hitter.
Quiroz, of course, who won in Sicily. Very windy venue there on the southwest coast. So come on then, give us a couple to follow. Who do you like? Who's your
main tip? My tip is going to be for the tour. I'm going to go for Jordan Smith. Played well at the end of the season. He has one win. He's got the Porsche European Open under his belt. That was admittedly a couple of seasons ago, or last year in effect. 18 months ago. So I'm going to go for him. I think it's about time he nudged up win number two.
I'm going to go for Matthias Schwab.
Right, okay. Well, that's
another big hitter. Ninth in Hong Kong. Top 25s in four of his last five starts. I think he could be ripe for a breakthrough win. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are Jordan Smith, I think, will do well. Okay. But I like the way you're thinking. And you are very, very much a stat man. You look at things very
analytically.
Closely. You know, a bit of music coming in. That must mean we're wrapping up.
Hopefully. That is your lot. Next week, we will review the Australian PGA Championship and the AfraAsia Bank Mauritius Open, and also look ahead to the South African Open hosted by the city of Johannesburg. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Mr. Richard Boxall,
bye.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.